Today we conclude a worship series called Our Money Story. We've looked at stories in the Bible of times when God has provided for us, and times when we have provided for each other. The series was divided into four sections: Remember, Release, Reimagine, and Restore. We remembered that even though we often don't deserve it, God has historically offered grace, love, and a place at the table. In the second part, we considered the heights we could reach if we were willing or able to release some of the ideas and fears that weigh us down. In the third part, we were called to reimagine our lives and the way the world could be, to reimagine the story we tell. In this final part of the series, we come to the word restore, and the ways that Jesus can help restore our stories to what they could be, rather than letting our stories come to an end in a bad chapter. Our stories can be restored. Our stories can be redeemed. Our stories can be rewritten. Our gospel story this morning comes to us from John chapter 21, verses 1 through 19. Hear now the word of the Lord. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the Twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the lake. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who were you?" because they knew that it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time, Jesus said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." Jesus said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Now Peter felt hurt because he'd said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, Feed my sheep. This is the word of the Lord. Two chapters before this morning's part of the story, Jesus is taken down from the cross and laid in a tomb. This scene of Jesus eating breakfast on the beach with his friends is the very last scene of John's Gospel, and from a literary perspective, it's a beautiful and clean ending. Loose ends are wrapped up, a key character is redeemed, and some of the most powerful images and motifs from the overall story are brought back. The high point of John's narrative is the Last Supper, a meal eaten in darkness after the sun has set and things are coming to an end. But here, Jesus eats another meal with many of the same friends, but this time, the meal is eaten as the sun is young in the sky. After resurrection, there is no limit to what Jesus can do. They are away from the crowds and the authorities who have threatened them throughout the book. The story of Jesus cannot be silenced. The powers of the world will never win in the end. On this morning, as Jesus sits with Peter around a campfire and asks him the same question three times, we might remember the last time Peter was near a fire, answering another question three times over. Peter waited at the gate of the high priest's courtyard when Jesus was arrested and warmed himself by a charcoal fire, and in that firelight, three curious onlookers asked him, You're not one of that man's disciples, are you? Three times, Peter said, No. No, he was not one of Jesus' disciples. No, he didn't know the man. No, he hadn't been with him. But today, on this morning, around this fire, following this meal, Peter's answer isn't no, but yes. Yes, he loves Jesus. Of course he loves Jesus. Jesus should know that Peter loves him. In many ways, the scenes are similar, but this time, Jesus is giving him the opportunity to rewrite it. The curtain doesn't drop when the cock crows and Peter realizes that he has denied his friend and his God three times. Jesus has been resurrected and restored to life and is in turn giving Peter the chance to begin again. The grace of Jesus is overwhelming. He has more grace than we can imagine. There is much, much more than enough grace to go around and then some. Grace, like love, like hope, like joy, doesn't have to be hoarded out of fear that there might not be enough. It's hard to let go of that fear. We hold back on telling people how much we admire them or appreciate them or respect them. What if we're seen as weird or needy? Or what if the other person doesn't hold us in the same regard? As individual people, it's easy to feel overwhelmed. There is one of me and 7 billion of everyone else. What difference could I possibly make? But offering love to the world creates more love. Find ways to give a real compliment to someone today, not just, this is good, or that was funny, or you look nice. But maybe, I'm glad that you're in my life, or I appreciate how patiently you explain things to me when I'm lost, or you feel like home. Find ways to offer love and vulnerability to someone today and tell me that it doesn't make a difference. We have power as individuals, and when we come together, we have even more. We are the church. you and me, everyone following this live stream or watching the video later or listening to the audio file of this sermon on our website under the Media tab. We bring all of our unique skills and personalities and voices to become peoples. You and I and all of us are what makes People's Presbyterian what it is. It is a church that we have created together. You matter as an important part of People's. You are the reason that we are able to do the work that we do. Without you, we couldn't have opened our doors to little kids with gingerbread sticky smiles last December, or hosted a flu shot clinic, or collected enough plastic lids to constitute an entire bench, or donated more than 1,500 handmade hats to people with cancer. Without you, we couldn't have started our Book Buddies program to listen to second graders practicing their reading skills, or helped kickstart Paddock's weekend food program for families who rely on free school lunches during the week to feed their kids, or started new traditions like our Advent tea, or sat together in deep conversations about faith and death and hope and Narnia and sloths and sin. We are an important and life-giving part of our Milan community, and of our Michigan community, and of our Presbyterian community across the country, and of our Christian community around the world, and you are a part of that. We are more than a church. We are a movement. We are a group of people who show up for each other, whether that's a birthday drive-by, or a cash collection for a family, or a surprise gift of pretzels or pie, or pet sitting, or recipe sharing, or book trading, or tech support, or gardening, or just a listening ear. We see who you are, and we love you for who you are, and for everything that you bring to the table. What you give to the church matters, because you matter to us. We are telling a story with everything that we do here at People's, and you are an important part of that story. You can help push the story forward and find new plot threads and new characters. You can help turn individual stories from denial and fear to love and acceptance, like Jesus helped Peter to restore his own narrative. It can often be easier to look to the past than to the future, because in many ways, the past is safer. We know what happened because we remember it. There aren't surprises or uncertainties or fears because we know what has brought us to the present moment. As of this morning, I have been here at People's for exactly 3 years and 3 days, and I love this church. I have loved being a part of the story that this church tells, and I'm still looking forward to the new chapters of our church's story that we will continue to write together.